From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you, Simon Marks. Welcome to Thursday's programme. It's January 28th, 2021. Where has January gone, eh? It's gone quickly, so it has. So it has.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
Nice to be talking to you live, nice today. Yeah, it's good to be back with you today.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, the Irish academic and social commentator Fiona Marie Flanagan will be with me this hour. I really like Fiona. Like listening to her. Don't miss her. This hour. Second hour, it's the small hours of the morning in Brisbane in Australia. But Max Egan will be getting out of bed to talk to you and me. It's been a while. I love Max. I've known him for a long time. I'm desperately keen to hear what he's got to say about recent developments and the virus and all the rest of that. I'm on Twitter. It's at BBG Richie. On Twitter at BBG Richie. Do send me a tweet. I have been unblocked. I can retweet you if I think you're worthy of retweeting, which I do quite a bit of the time. Welcome, welcome. Good to be here. Sorry about yesterday. Got through it, did the show as if it was live and got it online. How about Nick Smith, eh? Wasn't he a very good guest yesterday, Nick Smith? I really liked him. And I want to thank Martin Noakes for introducing me to Nick. Martin is a great pal. Thank you, Martin. I really appreciate that. We'll get Nick back on again in the future. Speaking of friends of mine, Spiro Skouras has been in touch. This is our Spiro, recently banned from Twitter, sadly. He of Activist Post fame and his own YouTube channel, Spiro Skouras. He sent me a link to an ABC story, which is worrying. It's about a California healthcare worker who's died only days after getting the second dose of the Pfizer jab. People are definitely dying after getting one of these coronavirus vaccines. I am a responsible broadcaster. I really am. I'm not virtue signaling here now or patting myself on the back. I can't exaggerate or twist any of that. I can't. But what I can say is I know that this vaccine is doing bad things to people. The numbers, I haven't a clue. But there are some worrying things happening. Dr. Vernon Coleman at vernoncoleman.com is documenting this stuff. Thank you, Spiro. I said it yesterday and I said it again. I would rather drink the piss of a 65-year-old, 27-stone female prostitute than take one of the vaccines. Yes, I did say that. A 65-year-old, 27-stone female prostitute. I'll get a golden shower from one of them than take one of these vaccines. I can't say that any stronger. I bet you June Rain is squirming in her undercrackers now, in her knickers. She might even have made a little bit of wee-wee in her frillies. Who's June Rain? Well, we spoke about her often enough in the recent past. She heads up the MHRA. That is the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency in the UK. June Rain and chums are responsible for deciding whether medicines are passed for use in the UK. She passed the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccines. She also passed the AstraZeneca vaccine. She passed it at the speed of light. And today, and I wrote about this yesterday on the website, Germany's vaccine committee said today that AstraZeneca's COVID jab should only be given to people aged under 65. They said insufficient data is the reason. We don't have enough data over its efficacy for very senior people. The European Medicines Agency will decide on Friday, tomorrow, whether to approve this vaccine for use across the EU. And I would like to know what else was there insufficient data on, but June Rain and chums passed it anyway. She passed it, and others, without having a Scooby-Doo whether or not it would stop transmission of the virus. No. June Rain is on the record as saying her role is to facilitate access for big pharmaceutical companies. Not that her role is to make sure that dirty drugs don't come into the country and kill people. No, no, no. My role is to facilitate access. This is some scandal brewing, isn't it? And of course, we discovered and we broadcast that June Rain and chums have taken money from Bill Gates in the past. And I don't mean June Rain directly. I don't mean that June Rain was given a brown envelope from Bill Gates. She wasn't. She wasn't. But initiatives, academic initiatives that she was involved in, that she was personally involved in, were funded by Billy Poisonjab's Gates. This is some scandal. I bet you June won't be taking her smalls to the laundrette this week. She'll be washing her own knickers this week, eh? Desmond Swain, then, the MP who we spoke to on this programme a few weeks ago. Sir Desmond, if you please, gave an interview to Save Our Rights UK back in November. And he said then, at the time, that NHS capacity figures were being manipulated to exaggerate the scale of the virus. The Sky News overnight went to town on Sir Desmond Swain, and we're going to hear some of that in a moment. At the time when he gave the interview to Save Our Rights UK, he said it seems to be a manageable risk, the virus that is, particularly as figures have been manipulated. We're told there's a deadly pandemic proceeding at the moment. That is difficult to reconcile with ICUs actually operating at typical occupation levels for the time of year. What's all the fuss about, said Desmond Rain at the time. He went on to tell the group that the government was attempting to implement a form of social control over the population by insisting that we wear face coverings. He said, there are aspects of this government's actions which I'm certain come down to social control, like the wearing of masks. It took the media quite some time, didn't it, to track down his interview with Save Our Rights UK, but they found it. And they have hammered him, and they have accused him of saying things that he never said at all. He gave an interview this morning to Adam Bunter-Bolton at Sky News. Here is a flavour of that.
So with hindsight, go back to my earlier question, do you now regret giving those interviews, and will you apologise for them, as Michael Gove has asked?
No, the complaint was legitimate at the time, the way that statistics were being presented. Even if subsequently deaths have ballooned, and they have, at the time, those comments were perfectly legitimate.
The Chief Whip has asked you to meet with scientific advisors, presumably he's thinking of people like Jonathan Van Tam and Chris Whitty and Valance. Have you met with them? Are you prepared to meet with them?
Absolutely. I'll meet with anyone.
Are you prepared for a bit of re-education there, Sir Desmond? Will you go and meet with Whitty and Valance and Van Tam and be told what you should think? Well?
Yes, but are you prepared to meet with those people and to accept the briefings that they give you?
Wow. Are you prepared to meet with them and to accept the briefings that they give you? Even if every fibre of your being tells you that they are lying through their teeth. Their teeth. Will you go and believe what they tell you? Will you? Will you? This is not a parody. This is what happened.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And are there any plans now for that to take place imminently?
Three times. Sir Desmond, are you getting your re-education? We've got one of them machines that they used on Hans Zarkov on Mongo. We'll tell you all about coronavirus, me and Whitty and Van Tam.
Not that I'm yet aware of.
Moving
and
on.
Do you fear that you might be suspended from the Conservative Party because there's also been criticism from the party hierarchy for your comments?
Well, that would be thought crime.
Go on, Desmond.
But I mean, have you been told that you are in danger of suspension if you don't change?
I have not.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you about vaccinations because, as you know, the two people we showed you being interviewed with in that report, Louise Canfield and Del Bigtree, are both campaigners against vaccines. Would you, when the opportunity arises, will you have personally a COVID vaccine?
I tell you every day, I think, no, you won't be surprised today. This is meant to be an exercise in journalism. It's becoming something incredibly sinister that bears no relation to journalism whatsoever. This is re-education. This is guilt by association. Those bad guys, Del Bigtree and Andrew Wakefield, will you take the vaccine, will you? Sadly, Sir Desmond says he will. He will have.
Yes, absolutely. I'm evangelical in my support for vaccination. That was clear from the question that I put to the Prime Minister yesterday. Even the most cursory examination of the blogs on my website will see my enthusiasm for the vaccination programme. Again, things that I've said in Parliament.
And so, again, do you then regret the fact that you, by appearing, and we saw...
This is very important now. And, you know, your BBG is never in the business of drawing attention to me or this programme. It doesn't matter. But this began with me 3, 4, 5 years ago. What you're going to hear now, this, you shouldn't appear with somebody because of the opinions that that person holds. This is, we're in the twilight zone here now. We really are. Listen to what he says here, Adam Bolton.
Del Bigtree talking about how honoured he was to speak to you and the rest. Do you regret that you helped, give credibility to those organisations which you spoke to?
Do you regret giving them credibility by appearing with them? Del Bigtree invited him on to talk about lockdown. At no time in the conversation with Bigtree did they discuss vaccine damage or harm. They talked about Desmond Swain's opposition to lockdown and face masks. Now we're in the realms of, do you regret going on that programme because of what the host himself thinks or because the host is linked to Dr. Andy Wakefield? This is 2021 life. We are really here.
I don't believe I have given credibility. I spoke to them on the issue of the lockdown. We never touched on the issue of vaccination. I had no idea that Del Bigtree, who I'd never heard of before, had any previous on vaccination. So the reality is I stuck to the brief that I was given. I was asked about lockdown and I talked about lockdown.
I didn't talk about Fight Club. Bolton won't let it go.
Okay, and would you do an interview again with Dale Bigtree?
This is fucking disgraceful. This is a fucking disgrace to journalism. This is a disgrace. Dale Bigtree is a citizen journalist, whatever you want to call him. He invites people on his programme, people that have come from academia. Some of them are doctors. Some of them are current medical doctors. Some of them are former doctors. Some of them are struck-off doctors like Andy Wakefield, and he asks them for their learned, considered opinion on matters. Adam Bolton is now challenging a Member of Parliament, daring him to say that he would go on with Del Bigtree again. This is astonishing to me. And I've had to put up with this for the best part of 5 years, by the way.
OK, would you do an interview again with Del Bigtree or Save Our Rights UK?
I would be rather cautious about
that.
Yeah,
of course you would. Of course you would, Desmond. And this is why when I contacted Desmond Swain to come on the programme today with me, even though he enjoyed his previous appearance last, it was late October, I think, when he came on, he said, I'd better not, in light of what might happen if I do. Imagine. Because if he'd come on this programme today, and I would have I would have done away with the monologue, and I would have had him on at 5 o'clock before Fiona Marie. And I would have said, look, what's going on? We would have had a chat. He'd have been destroyed for appearing with me today. This is where we are. Isn't it lovely? He only briefly fought back when he was asked, would he, like Michael Gove suggested, apologise?
But I'm not clear as to what I'm being asked to apologise for. And I just wonder if he has fallen for that Sky News headline, senior Tory tells anti-vaxxers to carry on and indicates his support.
Brilliant. That was the Sky News headline. The Sky News headline was senior Tory tells anti-vaxxers to carry on. Save Our Rights UK is not an anti-vaccination organisation. It's an anti-lockdown organisation. And when he was interviewed by Save Our Rights UK, they didn't discuss vaccines, they discussed lockdown. So Sky News, their headline was an erroneous headline. It was potentially libelous, the headline, suggesting that he was telling anti-vaxxers to carry on with their anti-vaccine activities, which he didn't do.
Which is a monstrous distortion of the truth.
Yeah. Well, report the bastard.
Sir Desmond Swain, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
So he ends it then. That fat, useless piece of fucking shit, Adam Bolton, ends the interview. Useless. I know it's unbecoming. I know it is. I can't help it. I don't plan it. It's unbecoming of somebody of my ability and my experience to speak like this, to talk like this, but I can't help it. What else is there to say about that? About that conduct? Dressed up as journalism. Imagine it. Imagine you're actually listening to that, because I can't fucking believe it. Most of the time. And tragically, Desmond Swain backs away from it. Instead of tearing into Bolton, ripping him to pieces, and saying, how dare you fucking tell me who I will and who I won't speak to, you useless barrel of piss. I'll speak to whoever I want to speak to. I don't care who it is. I don't care what their opinions are. I'll give my opinion. I don't care if Richie Allen interviewed some guy 5 years ago who denied the fucking Holocaust. I'll speak on his programme anyway, because he's an interesting guy. But no, this is how they're destroying the independent media. Guilt by association. You've seen The Guardian do it to me. You've seen The Mail do it to me. The Jewish fucking Chronicle do it to me. Oh, don't go on there. Why is he particularly... No, no, it's the people he had on. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And where this ends up, by the way, is it ends up with the death of and the end of the independent media. There won't be any Richie Allen radio show if this is allowed to go on. These people are dangerous. You shouldn't be appearing with them. Nobody should be appearing with them. Nobody should be giving them any credibility. Wow. 20 minutes past the hour. Shocking stuff, that. Shocking stuff. He did go on to Julia Hartley Brewer programme before that. Obviously, he got an easier ride on there. But she did press him on his support for vaccines, because even talk radio has given up on, you know, on liberty and freedom and your rights not to be vaccinated. Yesterday, she didn't bat an eyelid yesterday when Robert Jenrick was on the programme, the housing secretary, and he basically said to her, you know, well, you can hear if you don't believe me.
Well, we're going to set out in the coming weeks a roadmap out of the present lockdown. The Prime Minister has been clear that he does not want to see another lockdown of the kind that we're experiencing.
He said that twice before.
The way to achieve that, of course, is to ensure that the vaccine rollout proceeds at pace and that as many people as possible in the country come forward and get vaccinated. If we can do that, if we can be a country that has a very high level of take-up of the vaccine, then there's great, I think, considerable reason for optimism that we won't be in this sort of position again. But there's a lot of work to achieve that. We're in a privileged position now. We're one of the leading countries in the world for vaccine rollout. But we're still in the early stages of that. We're still really in the foothills. And there will be a significant portion of the population that we will need to work very hard to get vaccinated, because there may be...
We'll need to work very hard to get a significant portion of the population vaccinated because they don't want to be vaccinated.
Because there may be vaccine hesitancy among certain groups and communities. Okay. In my own department, of course, I'm working on some of the most vulnerable groups, like the homeless, for example. If we can achieve that, then I think we will achieve your objective,
Mr. Jenrick,
which is to ensure there isn't a further lockdown later.
You're implying that that's something that automatically...
If we get everybody vaccinated, we can ensure there won't be further lockdowns.
Automatically happens. It's a government choice.
Well, none of us want to see the NHS placed in an impossible situation or the number of deaths rise to the sorts of levels that we're seeing at the moment. We want this to be the last time that we're in this position as a country. The route out of this, the way to avoid that, is the vaccination programme. There's no other option. So we have to ensure that we get the population vaccinated as quickly as possible. And as I say, that we are a country that vaccinates as near to 100% as possible. That will be a big challenge, because we know there's a portion of the population who are hesitant to...
Yeah, we'll work to re-educate the people who are hesitant in taking the vaccine. And if we get near enough 100% of people vaccinated, then we can ensure there won't be any lockdowns next winter. Yeah. It's all fun and games, really. We're actually dreaming this. None of this is actually happening. We're in some sort of collective dream. Some sort of weird phenomenon is going on here. This is not real. This is KC and the Sunshine Band. My name is Richie Allen. This is the BBG, not the BBC. Broadcasting live from Salford. Fiona Marie Flanagan joins me soon. Later on, we're off to Brisbane. Max Egan live on the Richie Allen Show for the first time in quite a while. Can't wait for that. Back in exactly 3 minutes. Casey and the Sunshine Band, Give It Up on the Richie Allen Show, 1983, or thereabouts, 26 minutes past 5 o'clock it is. I did kind of apologise for the rant there, I didn't mean that, you know. Conduct unbecoming and all of that. Let's welcome back to the programme the academic and social affairs, current affairs commentator, the one and only Fiona Marie Flanagan, live from Dublin. Welcome, Fiona.
Hello, Richie. Listen, don't worry. You're a hot-blooded Irishman. You can't help it. And we need people to feel very strongly about these issues. So I wouldn't even apologise. You can rant away.
Do you know, great friend of mine, don't use the term lightly, Jean-Anne Crowley, reckons this is season 9 of Dallas. This is Dallas season 9, when we didn't have Bobby for a whole season. Ratings dropped so badly that the production company brought him back to save the show. This can't be happening. I think I saw you on Twitter respond to something that looked very much like the Garda Síochána corner practicing a dance routine on top of a building. Is that really going on over there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, listen, I don't want to go Garda bashing.
No, let's not bash the guards, no.
I've kind of gotten into a situation where I'm not confrontational with them. I see the despair in a lot of their eyes when they're pulling us up, Richie. I really do. And I'm trying to do what you do, to sort of stay neutral on this. They're in a really, really hard place right now. And I find personally working with them is helping my situation much better than going in all guns blazing. But that's just me. You know, I'm trying to navigate through this deluge as best I can, as everyone else is. So I don't think we've reached that level of peak craziness, but it may very well happen.
It may very well happen. No, I think I saw a video somewhere. Now, you see, the thing is, it could have been taken at any time. And there was a time last year when nurses and doctors and various, you know, services, whether it be, we had it in the UK with certain police people making videos and that, and I thought I saw a video with it.
Oh, yeah. That would have been along the sort of the psyop, wasn't it, of all the dancing nurses in the hospitals, which all of these went viral and really upset a lot of people, honestly. And I mean, it upset me seeing this go on.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was yesterday, probably Tuesday, but the Taoiseach, we have just an absolutely crazy situation in our country, don't we, in terms of political leadership. We have two parties that were roundly rejected by the Irish people at the last general election, basically hogging power. The previous Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, has stepped aside. He's the Taoiseach now, the deputy Taoiseach. He'll get the job back again next year. It's crazy. But he's been talking about closing Ireland's borders and quarantining people coming into the country. And that may be going on, Fiona, for as much as a year. Is that right?
Yes. And I'll take a step back on this, Richie, and give you a context here. Someone very close to me lives in the Middle East and took a trip over to Dublin over Christmas. And on the way back, had to go through three PCR tests variously along the route, including a 2-week quarantine, including another random test, including having to check in with the health ministry every 2 hours. They would get a call and they needed to either upload their visage or speak to someone in the ministry to obviously confirm that they were there in terms of their GPS coordinates, which were hooked up to their civil ID, which was linked into the health ministry as well, and also to make sure that they didn't have any symptoms. Now, Richie, this is what this country in the Middle East does and is very strict on doing it. And if you don't have a smartphone, the country gives you one when you arrive into its airport arrivals. They'll hand you one for nothing, a basic model, obviously. Or if you are, how shall we say it, working in the lower wage sector and refuse a smartphone, they will tag you, i.e. put a bracelet on you with your coordinates to make sure you don't go out and break your quarantine. And the penalties for breaking quarantine in this country are these: a significant jail sentence plus a significant fine. And they mean it, Richie. This is not a country you want to mess around in. So this person I know was released from quarantine a couple of weeks ago. They had one PCR test here and then two over there. And thankfully, they all came out negative. But it was interesting for me to get firsthand commentary on the whole process. So to come back to your original point, I see that happening there. I'm getting first-hand commentary on it. And so I'm understanding the extent to which a smaller country in the Middle East, with the technology, with the systems, and with the totalitarian state already in place, can implement these policies. So therefore, we just say it's only a question of when the rest of us in the West start doing this, because it's a playbook. So when our Varadkar came out and started to talk about quarantining and he used the word detention. And, you know, if you don't show up with a negative PCR test, you're going to be put away for 10 days or in government hotels, they're talking about. And they're initially only targeting those countries where there is the, you know, most virulent version of the mutant ninja virus going on. I mean, that sort of situation can change, you know, on a day-to-day basis, which is why it puts people into a complete mayhem when they're attempting to travel anywhere, because it's so uncertain. You could end up stuck anywhere indefinitely. And this is the idea. So, Richie, yes, they will attempt in Ireland, I have no doubt, to bolt the country down to varying degrees over the next year or so and implement a quarantining facility. Now, again, it depends on the disorganised Irish. And I would say to a friend, hopefully I can just rely, I keep saying this, on them not getting their acts together and doing it in such a haphazard, ridiculous way that, you know, they'll never really get fully on top of it. But mark my words, they intend to try.
They're going to try. When it was announced for the UK, they initially, we thought they would tell everybody coming back into the country that you needed to quarantine. Like Ireland, they stopped short of doing that. They've only pinpointed these so-called hotspots. They haven't yet said to people, well, if you go to Benalmádena, if you go to Santa Ponsa, you will have to quarantine when you come back. They haven't done that yet. I think they might do. But when they were having these discussions, apparently they were openly discussing the things you mentioned, the bracelets and the security. And the hotels that will house returning visitors from Brazil or from South Africa, those hotels will be heavily policed by private security firms. I mean, this is astonishing stuff, this. It really is. I don't know. I keep expecting, you know, day by day, I keep expecting some sort of huge backlash, whether it be from somebody very well known in television news, whether it be from a very well known celebrity. But people just tend to just go along with it. And my theory is, and I want to ask you this, yesterday on Talk Radio, our housing secretary here, Robert Jenrick, basically said, and I wrote an article about this, he effectively said, and I wasn't exaggerating, he said, look, we think, she said, I want some guarantees we won't lock down next winter. And he said, well, if everybody's vaccinated, we won't, more or less. Do you get that feeling back home that it's ultimately going to be about, we're not going to really ever move away from this lockdown stuff until the great majority of people have taken it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do, Richie. It seems to be in the air. Bearing in mind in Ireland that, again, we haven't really gotten off the ground with our vaccination programme. Currently, to date, only about 3% of the population have been vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. And half of those are in care homes and the other half are healthcare workers. So that's where we are. But I just want to draw your attention to something that I became aware of during the year, which was an official CDC document. Now, I can't find it now, but honestly, hand on my heart, I did read it because I wouldn't make this horror story up. It was an official document on the CDC website discussing green zones. And this is the policy that, again, is being discussed within Ireland and no doubt in the UK about now a zero COVID policy, which they're advocating. And as part of this strategy to implement this, they're talking about bolting down areas or designating areas green zones, which involves these detention facilities for high risk individuals on a mandatory basis. Now, the CDC document to me was horrific, because, and I tweeted it at the time, and I tweeted a link to it, because it raised all sorts of questions and violations on human rights. Not that anything that's happening now doesn't, impinge upon our human rights, but they, and it's almost like the commentary on it, they knew that they were violating the rights, but they were ignoring it and saying, well, you know, yeah, we know that we're not sort of, you know, adhering to your human rights, but this is it. The common good takes over. So yes, Richie, I've heard one of our politicians say, yeah, we want to get 70% of the population vaccinated. And, you know, that's our objective. Notwithstanding that we have reputable GPs coming out, again, emphasising what your good friend Dr. Vernon Coleman does, when he says that the vaccination itself does not guarantee to reduce transmission of the virus or reduce your infection of it.
Doesn't obviously prevent you getting it.
Reduces the severity to which you get the infection.
So why would you take it then? I mean, the obvious question is, to any man or woman who says, I recommend you have this, it won't stop you getting it, and we're not sure it'll prevent you transmitting it. Your next obvious question is, why should I have it then? This is the astonishing thing. I can't get my head around this.
No, and nor can I. I mean, you know, and as I said, I look at it as, first of all, as a rational decision, as I said to you before, you know, on the balances of probabilities and what we know. And secondly, I look at it as a sort of an ethical and moral decision on the grounds of, you know, tested with or derived from aborted fetal tissue. And that is a personal thing that I hold. And that, you know, mainly informs my view on the vaccines. But it is incredible, because I can tell you that a relative of my husband's in the UK, an elderly relative, has had the two Pfizer jabs now. And I tweeted about it because I thought, I'll be honest, because we want truth as we find it.
Yeah.
The first jab they took, now they're elderly, they were very sick afterwards, hallucinations, bad dreams, fever, felt very unwell, really unwell for days. Obviously, the advice within the family, which I wasn't privy to, it's not my right to do that, was to, you know, think twice about getting the second jab. But this individual was determined, because they believe the MSM, that they think now that their life is going to come back with the COVID vaccine. So they went along, had the second jab, and couldn't breathe after that, had great difficulty. But now, I mean, we're talking about, I would say it's about 3 weeks afterwards, they seem to be okay. So, you know, I thought in the interest of balance, I did do a retweet on that to sort of emphasize, yeah, this person seems okay. But Richie, to get back to your point, it's everyone believes that this is going to help them and mysteriously relieve them from this tyranny.
Yeah.
They
but
really
it
believe it.
But it isn't, because they're being very, dare I say this, they're being pretty open about the fact that taking the vaccine is no passport to normality. It won't help you return to normality. They're saying this openly on national television news here in this country, and yet people are still happy to go and take it. These green zones now and the CDC, years ago I used to do a monthly chat with InfoWars Alex Jones, and I used to be pretty pally with him at the time before he went off the reservation, and I say that with fondness more than anything else. It's not in any way meant to be a criticism, but I haven't done anything with him for a few years. But he was very good back then, Alex. He was really good. And he did an expose of what he was calling at the time FEMA camps. Do you remember that going back years? I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I do. I do remember that, yes.
Massive amounts of empty buildings dotted around the country. And they were heavily manned at the time, they were secured by private security companies and whatnot. And he was saying, what the hell are these for? And at the time he was saying, you know, these might very well be used in the future to lock up dissenters and those that don't do what they were told. And he was less sensational back then, Alex, than he would become. And at the time, they also discovered what appeared to be coffins and stuff. Like, and I don't want to take this down a silly road now, but I'm just wondering, you know, going back then, because I've seen enough evidence that this, what we're witnessing now, has been planned for quite a long time. It isn't just something that's happened on a whim. The virus came and they went, oh, wow, here's the virus. Here's an opportunity now to roll back civil liberties. I think it's been in the planning for quite some time. And I just wonder, going back to those days of FEMA camps, you know, is that where we're going to end up if people you know, if civil unrest was, because I really believe, Fiona, I'm really interested in your opinion on this, particularly being an Irish woman and me not being home at the moment, but I do see significant civil unrest coming. What do you think?
Yes, I do, Richie. And I'm of two minds about that, believe it or not, because, you know, my natural inclination would be, yes, go on, fight for your rights, get out there, you know, stand up for your freedom. But as I gave a very tough interview with Dave Cullen yesterday, no plug not intended, but it was to do with controlled opposition, Richie.
Yeah.
And Vladimir Lenin said, and let's be honest, these Bolshevik Russians would have known a bit about that, explained that the best way to lead an opposition is to control it, or to deal with opposition, rather, is to control it. So my worry and my fear is just like the sort of the situation on the 6th of January outside Capitol Building. So we haven't spoken about that together, but I believe a lot of that was staged.
Yeah.
I fear now, you know, that all it takes is a very small number of agitators to turn something that is well-intentioned and well-meaning really, really wrong. And for well-meaning people to get on the wrong side of a movement. And as you have said, to end up on lists and to end up being incarcerated. Now, I don't want to get sensationalist with your listeners either, but I think what you're saying now is true. Yes, we have resistance brewing, but I believe that is almost wanted and expected. Because come on, I mean, are we not being prodded to the point where it is, I've said this before, I'll say it again, it is ghoulish, the interference that is happening now. You know, you've even said it, you know, they're talking about anal PCR tests or something.
Anal PCR tests.
And like wearing double, triple, quadruple masks. I mean, I look upon that as, what's the word? It's provocation to the point of ridicule. And to me, it is so nonsensical. It's as if to say, how much more are they going to take? So, yes, Richie, the movement, counter movement is brewing for sure. Look at Europe. Look at what's happening in Holland. I mean, they don't take this at all lying down. Sadly, I think the Irish will be the last to get up off the sofa, put away the beer and take off the face mask and get and do anything on the average. OK, no, I'm not talking about everyone.
No, I agree. I agree with you.
But yes, civil unrest, resistance is happening. But you know the old Hegelian dialectic, don't you? Your friend David Icke would even say, order ab chaos, problem, reaction, solution. They're expecting the pushback. And, you know, they're ready for it, I believe.
I think you've hit on something very... What you said there about the humiliation thing, I think that's very good. It hasn't occurred to me that, you know, talking to people in these terms, you know, about wearing a third mask, couldn't believe it, they were talking about this. Bad enough they talked about it in America, but to hear BBC journalists speaking about it yesterday, but to be talking about anal swabs, I think you've actually struck upon something really significant. I think, yes, there is an attempt to humiliate people, to strip them of their humanity. And maybe in that, there's a goading of sorts to, you know, to light a fire under people, to get them to react, because then that's another way of scaring the absolute, you know, bejesus out of everybody else, you know, and then as you said, then problem, reaction, solution, and then justifying, then amplifying the security, dialing up the police presence. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that coming. I really can.
See how, you know, poor everyone is desperate right now. You know, I was struggling for something positive to say to you today because I think, you know, you and I were.
It's been a rotten week, though. It's
gloom spiral. And I suppose on an individual basis, we need to work on ourselves to try and keep our mental health together and stay positive. But all the signs are there and we cannot be played, which is why, you know, I caution again, you may say I play it too safe. But for the general population, I would caution them against being aggressive with the police or being testy with them, because that will just provoke a public order offence. It'd be slapped right on you. I think we're in such a delicate situation now that we all need to play smart. We need to be really careful how we handle our personal situations now and not provoke reactions against us that will serve no purpose other than to strengthen the hand of the tyranny, which is already choking us right now.
She's brilliantly articulate, is Fiona Marie Flanagan. I wouldn't dream of patronising her. Absolutely brilliantly put there. I agree, Fiona. I've said it my entire life. Violence is not the answer. And I was accused one time of being very careful with my language, and I'm not being careful. I wouldn't harm a hair on the heads of Boris Johnson or Chris Whitty or Patrick Vallance or any of these idiots in Ireland. I wouldn't, because it never ends. It never ends. The old Chinese saying, the old belief, if you know, he who seeks revenge better dig two graves. The only way we have, it's the hardest mountain to climb. Our only route out of this, in my opinion, is to convince enough people that it's actually going on, because most people don't believe it, and then to convince them to disengage non-violently. Gandhi.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
Yes.
But violence, you're absolutely right. Attacking people, forget about it. No, I don't agree with that.
No, we can't. And look, again, this is just my journey I'm communicating to you. I used to be Miss Anger. You know, oh my goodness, how can you do this? How can you wear that? How can it? But I've almost turned a corner now, Richie, and I look upon people who are so fearful with, and I'm not being condescending, don't get me wrong, but I look with pity, because I know, as I say, how terrified they are. I've said this before, I have adjusted my own movements to try and stay away from crowds as much as I can. Not that we don't have many here, but I'm now feeling their pain. I know you probably think, oh, well, why are they complying? They just need to wake up. But sadly, so many people are just literally terrified of what's going on. The PSYOP has worked so well. And again, to your listeners, I emphasize, I am one of the ones who believes that the virus exists. I believe there are multiple strains, because to me, this is just normal.
What happens?
I believe that, for example, in the Middle East, there would have been a different strain than we had here, than, you know, there is in the US. That's just normal. I'm not a medic, so I can't go down the rabbit holes of the whole sort of virus theory as Rockefeller would have initiated it. I can't go there, because it just would be unproductive time for me. But I know enough people to know what they have suffered in terms of symptoms, etc., to say, yeah, there's something, definitely something. And for a lot of people, it does knock them. But I know of no deaths, obviously. So yes, we're at this very, very sensitive position. And while we're on the subject, can I just give a little plug, because I would recommend your listeners tune into this. I found it last night. It's a YouTube channel called The Irish Inquiry, and they had on a GP last night, Richie, who wasn't prepared to give their full details because they're afraid. It's an Irish GP, and they were explaining how awful or how desperate the situation is, you know, vis-a-vis mental health, vis-a-vis other issues that people are not going to seek help about because they're too scared. But what he did explain, and maybe Dr. Vernon Coleman would be able to go into this in more detail with us, was something called a lateral flow rapid antigen test. And according to this GP, not according to me, but according to him, this is such a simple, cost-effective, easy test that if you want to really trap those who are infectious, they could just do it on a daily basis. And what he's saying is that you could get the truly infectious people, treat them in the community with antivirals, drugs that are well understood, well available. It reduces the transmission of the virus, and it's dirt cheap. And he said that the PCR tests, which we all know the difficulty with them, are so costly as well. So, you know, around what you're saying, I really took an interest in this, and I thought, my goodness, this is a GP coming up with this alternative strategy completely, not diminishing the virus, not diminishing the need to take care and be sensible about it, but looking at how you detect it. And we're just not getting anywhere with this.
No. I'm going to read a few tweets, Fiona. That it's interesting that, because I've been in touch with someone called Simone Gold. I think most people know who she is now.
Oh, yes.
And I think is kind of reluctant to come on the programme. And I kind of understand that. A lot of these doctors, they know that when they appear with people like me, it's going to be used as a stick to beat them with in the long run. I mean, I had this conversation with Desmond Swain today. Let me read a few tweets. Colm in Dublin, whom I'm sure you know from Twitter, who's been listening to me for years, I think. Richie, Fiona's the rarest of creatures, a South Dublin well-heeled yummy mummy with a brain and backbone. I didn't think that yummy mummies and brains were mutually exclusive, to be honest. It's not been my experience, but he's a good lad, Colm. He says, along with John and Gemma, Fiona is one of my people of the year. Thanks for that, Colm. Let me scroll on down there. A lot of people agreeing with you. Molly says, Richie, I don't advocate violence either, but we do have to stand up for ourselves and our rights. Catherine tells me civil unrest is not the answer. She says they have planned for that. We need to look at different solutions. Check out the Greater Reset. And she gave me a link to thegreaterreset.org. Thanks very much. And Darren said to me, Richie, put Antifa.com into a search engine. I did, and you get the White House website, funnily enough. I don't know what that means, but it is a funny thing. And Liz Jones says, if you just say no, it will stop, disengage. Ricky says, I really do hate this world at times. I'm shuring, he says. I think he meant to say something else. I'm still stuck even in a nightmare, he says. And I get a lot of emails from people who are stuck at home, and they are basically climbing the walls. They're that upset. That's an interesting thing, that if you put Antifa.com into your search bar and press enter, you'll get the White House. That's just somebody messing around for the crack, maybe. I don't know. I don't know at all. Where do you think we're going to be this coming autumn? Because this coming autumn, all of the talk will be on mainstream and independent media. All the talk will be what's going to happen in the winter to come, what's going to happen at Christmas. Where do you think we'll be? How strong do you think will the campaign to encourage people to take the vaccine get? What sort of lengths can we imagine? I'm putting you on the spot now, Fiona. What sort of things might they do? They've already got celebrities speaking to minority communities, because minority communities are understandably sceptical about the vaccine because they're not stupid. They remember, you know, say it for me, thalidomide. They remember swine flu and narcolepsy. They're not sick. So they've gotten all these celebrities to do that. What do you think might happen if the uptake isn't what they want it to be come, say, August, September this year?
Can I be brutally honest?
I'll be brutally honest.
You don't mind brutally honest? Because people accuse me of being so negative and, you know, doom and gloom. But to me, I can't sell hopium, because the way I see it is we are in the eye of the storm now. And I hate to say it, Richie, but it's going to get worse. Yeah. It's going to get a lot worse.
Oh, it is. No doubt about it, yeah.
You know, now, on the vaccinations, you see, again, I try and dissect this. To me, it is a ghoulish show. You know, there's so much. I mean, it couldn't be worse. We have seen clips of, God love them, people who have neurological damage. We've got so many stories appearing everywhere in the world about, you know, serious adverse reactions to the vaccine, including deaths. Now, nobody can say they're directly attributable to the vaccine, because I have to be very careful here. But you know what? It almost seems that they can't keep control of that narrative. They may very well be allowing that to happen, because we're seeing how potentially dangerous these vaccines are. So, yes, Richie, we will see, like I said, a campaign like you have never known. Everything will be focused on this vaccination. And here is where I'm going to take a step out. I don't think they're going to get the uptake that they want.
No, they won't.
Ultimately. No. That's what I really believe. Now, where this leaves us, this potentially leaves us no schools, no, again, food shortages. If they bolt down the country, if they disrupt the supply chains, if, you know, all of the things that we have discussed. Because, Richie, these people, these puppets are psychopaths. I have no problem and hesitation in saying it. Mm. And they will do whatever it is they are told to do to bring us to our knees until we acquiesce and accept.
Can I put you on the spot? Let me put you on the spot now. And if you want, you can return the favour. Let me put you on the spot. If it gets to that point, this is a miserable existence. We are 40-something people. Most of my listeners are there. It begins around the early to mid 30s and goes up to about 60. We're in that bracket, me and you. We're in our 40s, right? Do you think, if it gets to that stage, it being such a terrible, horrible existence at the moment, it's dreadful. We can't do simple things like go to see a show, like go to the cricket. I know I'm an Irishman. I shouldn't say this. I should wash my mouth out with soap. You know.
I always thought cricket. Yeah, was boring too.
I love it. Yeah, but we you know, we go out and we meet. I meet my friends, my sports friends, and their children are always with them, and we have a drink and we go out. We drive out in the country. My other half and myself, we go and see a bit of live music. We love to have a meal. We don't do it all the time because nobody can afford to eat out all the time. But we love these things. These are the joys of life, the things that make it worthwhile working 5-6 days a week. If you got to the stage, if it occurred to you later this year that there's absolutely no return to even the resemblance of that old way, unless you took the fucking thing, excuse me language, would you take it?
Personally, yeah. No. But no. I've made up my own mind, Richie, and this is a hill I'm prepared to perish on. And I say that, and I say that with absolute resolution.
Fair play to you.
And that's it. Come what may. You know, I know you probably think I'm irresponsible. You know,
why would I say that? You're not being irresponsible. No, of course you're not. Listen, I'm with you. I won't take it either. Not at all. That's not what I was getting at. No, it's not. You don't have any responsibility to anybody but yourself. What we've been told about the vaccine and protecting other people, it's a monstrous lie. It's of gargantuan proportions. No, I was speaking just purely from a personal, just sick to death of the misery of it. Yeah. Just to get out of that. Just to get to see a film with a glass of fucking wine.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah.
You know what I feel? And again, I could put a spiritual bent on this, but I won't for your viewers at this point or listeners at this point. But what I believe will happen is we will be brought to our knees. Many people will accept the vaccine just to get me out of this mess. But as you've rightly said, it's not going to open the doors immediately. But eventually, I think we in the West especially will be so desolate and destitute when we're offered a system of, remember, it's the New World Order, call it what you want, but there will be debt forgiveness in there. There will be universal basic income for those destitute. There will be all sorts of things. Come in the door. Here you go. It'll be all right. Take the jab. The jab will probably, although I don't know for sure, I question that, because maybe they'll get enough vaccinated as they go along. But there will be a system. The New World Order will show up in full force, global government, because I believe the structures are already in place. I believe the lockstep response to the pandemic has clearly demonstrated that through the World Health Organization's arm of the United Nations, that this thing is in place. We are moving away from a unipolar world where the US is dominant, because Joe Biden, bless his cotton socks, is going to take down the US. Obviously, we haven't gone there today, but that's another story. So we're moving into a multipolar world. So to get back to your point, I believe these are the birth pangs of the New World Order, the chaos that is required for them to show up with their system and offer us a solution.
Going to be an interesting 5 or 6 months ahead, right?
Oh, huge, huge. I mean, Richie, you ain't seen nothing, is my view.
Fiona, remind us where people can find you on YouTube. I know you mentioned you were with Dave Cullen yesterday. I don't know if that's going to be on YouTube. It's probably on BitChute.
No,
where else,
gosh,
can people
no.
find you?
Yeah. You know what? It'll be God. It's a BitChute. And he's on Gab. I'm still hanging on Twitter, Richie. You know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Anyway, there, Twitter for now.
Twitter for now. You'll find, as she just said herself there, you'll find Fiona on Twitter. If you look for Fiona Marie Flanagan, there's only one, you'll find her. I've been tweeting her today, so you'll find it through my Twitter feed. Fiona, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be talking again right soon.
Oh, I look forward to it, Richie. And take care. God bless. And keep the fire going. We all love listening to you.
I nearly said you're a gent for saying that. You're a lady for saying that. Thanks very much, Fiona. Cheers
take
for that.
Care.
And bye for now. The brilliant Fiona Marie Flanagan live on the Richie Allen radio show. Interesting development. I didn't see this. Somebody has tweeted it to me. But Hope Not Hate is an organisation in this country that purports to be a charity. That purports to be a charity that fights racism. Allegedly. That's what it claims to do. And it's had a few things to say about me in the last few years. And some of the people that have come on my programme. And today, Hope Not Hate, which is not a charity, shouldn't be a charity, and should have its charity status removed by this government, has put out what it purports to be a story saying exclusive Hope Not Hate can reveal that controversial Tory MP Desmond Swain appeared on anti-Semitic conspiracy theory show The Richie Allen Show late last year. And this was endorsed by the Jewish Labour Movement, who says the Jewish Labour Movement has just announced that The Richie Allen Show is filled with conspiracy theories, Holocaust deniers — it's certainly not filled with Holocaust deniers — and dog whistle anti-Semitism. The Conservative Party cannot ignore Desmond Swain's actions. So after listening to Adam Bolton's interview with Desmond Swain earlier on, and my conversation on — I didn't speak to him on the phone, we swapped text messages — my chat with Desmond Swain, now you've got the Jewish Labour Movement and Hope Not Hate demanding that Desmond Swain is further punished because he came on this radio programme last year. You see, the statements made by Hope Not Hate and the Jewish Labour Movement are libelous statements. They're libelous statements. And I've always said that if I was ever to be libeled by anybody, that I would basically see them in court, that I would instruct a solicitor to instruct a barrister. And I'm a man of my word. But the problem is, you see, I've been looking into this stuff, and I'd want at least £100,000, which of course I don't have, nor do you, to sue these people. I don't have the wherewithal to go after these people. Miserable fucking Nazis like Hope Not Hate. Yes, I have used the word Nazis. Nazis like those in the Jewish Labour Movement. Nazis who put on Twitter that my show is full of Holocaust deniers. It isn't. I think twice in 6 years or 7 years I've had people on this programme who said they didn't believe that the Holocaust ever took place. Twice. And on both occasions they were robustly challenged and dismissed out of hand by the host, me. That would be me, the Baldy Gammon. They can say this stuff, you see. So now inevitably they found out that Desmond Swain was on this programme, so they're going after him. Now, I'm not in any way trying to make this about me. It's not about me. But this is where it ends. This is where it ends. The independent media. This is a steamroller. Nothing's going to stop this. These bastards can make statements on public forums declaring me to be a Holocaust denier. Well, they haven't. They haven't. They've not been that fucking stupid. They've said that the show's filled with conspiracy theories and Holocaust deniers. And I have to take it in the arse. I've got to bend over, lube myself up and say, give me some fucking more, because I don't have the money to go after them. And then an old friend of mine said to me one time, Richie, even if you did have the money to go after them, the legal system, the judicial system in this country is so wickedly corrupt, even though you would have a stone cold case against them, you might not win. You know? This is where we are. This is where we are. So yeah, I didn't know anything about this. It's just been brought to my attention. This has been happening this afternoon. I'm going to take a tune. When we come back from that, hopefully Max Egan will be in the house. Oh yeah. It's been a good week, this. This is our Simple Minds, Jim Kerr and the gang. Right, that is Simple Minds. Time is pressing. It's just after 4 o'clock in the morning in Brisbane, Australia. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back to the programme the artist, the public speaker, the campaigner, the activist, and the gentleman that is Max Egan. Thanks for getting up out of the bed so early, my friend. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, Richie. Thanks for having me back on, brother. Good to talk to you.
No, don't thank me. It's great. It's big of you to get up that early and be there for so early in the morning. I do it myself, but I wouldn't be as cheery or as magnanimous as you are. I'm just going to shut up and let you talk, mate, because you've not heard from me for a while. You know what's going on this side of the world. We're fascinated to know what's going on over there. It's getting worse here, lockdown after lockdown after lockdown, no end in sight. The vaccine is being rolled out. It appears it's causing harm to people, but the media is trying to cover that up. And it's all very grim here at the moment, Max. What about you?
pretty grim everywhere, Richie. Like, they've got us in and out of lockdown. They've got the state borders closed and open and closed. I mean, it's actually going back to reasonably normal at the moment, but they're kind of – the way they do it, you know, we're easing the lockdown, so now you can have 30 people around at your home or whatever. Well, you know, why do we need any rules for any – however many people we've got, you know? I mean, it's just they've got to do it gradually so that people get used to their new normal of being locked down and then out of lockdown and then back into lockdown. It's part of the whole communist manifesto, how you condition people to move into this new normal they want to move us into. But you guys are really copying it over there at the moment, I've noticed, in the UK. And I'm seeing a lot of pushback from the UK as well. I'm thinking this may be where the revolution really starts. The British people may have had enough and may really push back. So that's what I'm hoping to see. But, I mean, it's just ongoing here, off and on, off and on. Australia's a really sparse population, though, so it's kind of hard for them to do it here. They can do it to a certain degree, but a lot of people just don't comply anywhere. I think I've seen like four people wearing masks through this whole time. So it's been pretty good in that respect, you know.
What you're hearing from people here. The pushback thing is interesting. Speaking with my previous guest, Fiona Marie Flanagan, we were wondering if there was some desire on behalf of those behind this agenda to push us hard to get a reaction from people, a reaction that could be controlled. For example, humiliate and degrade people to the point where they fight back, but then that's what you want them to do, and then you swoop in with the army and with, you know, the tooled up police and even more laws to prevent people from moving around and assembling. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what they want, violent pushback. People can push back by simply asking the right questions and not wearing the masks and not complying with what they want us to do. You know, opening all the businesses like they've done in Italy. 50,000 businesses have just reopened in Italy against health guidelines and against what the government wants them to do. They just all got together and said, well, hey, let's all reopen. And they did, and there's no way they can police that. And that's what we need, people just pushing back, realizing that we're just dealing with people here, and all of these guidelines and things they're putting in place are far worse than any alleged pandemic. And they've never proved the pandemic. They've never isolated the virus. It doesn't matter which country you go to. You can ask, get freedom of information requests from the UK, from Australia here, from anywhere, and ask them if they have any isolates of this virus, and they don't. So if they don't have any isolates for the virus, what are they testing for, and what is the target for the vaccine? You know, and you look at the amount of deaths that they're using to run this whole thing. All of these deaths are in nursing homes, or 90% of them are in nursing homes, which is because they took people out of hospital and put them in nursing homes and just left them there to die. They're basically killing off all of our elderly people and calling it a pandemic. And it's all being done deliberately. It's horrendous. I mean, virtually every person who's died of COVID in a nursing home was murdered by proxy by government. And now they're rolling this vaccine out. More and more people are dropping like flies from the vaccine. And what it's always been about is the vaccine. This is a genetic modification of humanity. You can't even call it a vaccine. It doesn't meet the legal criteria to even be labeled as a vaccine. And the powers that believe they be themselves are telling us that even if you have this vaccine, it doesn't mean you're going to be immune, doesn't mean you'll stop spreading it, doesn't mean you can stop social distancing or wearing a mask. Well, what is the point of the vaccine then? By definition, a vaccine is supposed to provide immunity. That's why you take the vaccine. So hang on, if I'm not sick now, there's nothing wrong with me. You're just telling me I'm sick, and you're telling me I've got to have this vaccine, which isn't going to protect me against anything anyway, and I'm going to feel terrible from having the vaccine. Why on earth should I take it? You know, why aren't people simply asking this question? I mean, that would be the best pushback. Just to ask these questions. We've actually got a notice of estoppel that we're working on here as well. We want to send out, and okay, here's 41 questions or 42 questions to establish the fact that there's actually an emergency here that you've used to enact these biosecurity laws that you're using to destroy our societies. You can only enact these laws in a state of emergency. We'll prove the emergency. Because we're not seeing it anywhere. The only time we're seeing an emergency is what the television's telling us, but all the hospitals are empty. We're not seeing any of this translate into real life. Really, the only emergency we've got is the fact that the media is spinning this whole lie, and the reaction that the government has taken to an alleged pandemic has created a state of emergency. You know, so just calling it out for what it is the best form of pushback. just throw a little bit of common sense at them and a few poignant questions, and they just get backed into a corner.
They do.
They can't answer them. They walk away. They run.
The problem with, I agree with every word of that. The problem with that, though, is I'm not sure you'll be aware of this. You might be. I know you keep your eyes on what's happening here, but the time difference. Desmond Swain, the senior Conservative MP, Sir Desmond Swain, he's, you know, as much as anybody else, has questioned the narrative and challenged the death figures and challenged the hospitalisation figures. But today, an attack began on him, initially through Sky News. Then everybody else has piled in on him, and they've properly gone to town on him now. And he's done some interviews on national television today where he was basically humiliated and forced into accepting the official story and agreeing to meet with the scientific advisor so that he could be re-educated. And I think what that shows to everybody else is, like, if you're in a public, if you're in a public office, or if you've got a public profile, you see that, Max, don't you? And you think twice then about saying what Desmond Swain said, because you don't want to be destroyed in the public eye like he was.
Exactly. They'll make an example out of people. That's what they've done to a guy here in Australia, one of our celebrity chef. He was on a TV show called Celebrity Chefs, I think. I don't know, I have a TV. But his name's Pete Evans, and he was a very popular author, very popular television personality. Had health products, used to get sponsored by all sorts of companies, and every single person has dropped him because he's questioned the COVID narrative, and the media has played him out as a neo-Nazi and all sorts of stuff, you know, which is what they do just to make an example out of someone. They'll just get someone and publicly destroy them to make an example and say, this is what we're going to do to you if you speak out. But people have got to speak out. People have got to really start looking at this and realize that it's important to speak out. And the media is the main culprit in this, really. I mean, as much of the damage that the politicians are doing, the media are the ones who are selling the lie. There's absolutely no journalism on this at all. They're squashing every single alternate voice. And anybody who's speaking out, they're attacking them and vilifying them. And I'm starting to think that the media personalities should be the target of a lot of reports that people like us are putting out. We should really be focusing on these people and getting dirt on them and exposing them for the lies that they're perpetrating, because the media are the enablers of all of this. They're the enablers of fraud. They're the enablers of this entire pandemic, the enablers of war, the enablers of pedophilia by covering up anybody who's speaking out against it. I mean, they're one of the worst forces and one of the most corrupt forces and one of the most influential forces that we have on this earth. And we really need to address that. It's disgraceful.
You've had something has happened in Australia that shocked a lot of us over here. You do have a well-known Sky News presenter in Australia whose name escapes me, but he's actually gone on live television, and it's a national news network, Sky, Rupert Murdoch, we all know, News Corp and all of that. Well, they sold their stake. But anyway, he was talking about the Great Reset, wasn't he, and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I mean, that was incredible to see that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't trust Murdoch either. But
no.
Sky News has kind of presented itself as being the right wing in all of this and sort of presenting half the truth in all this. But they're still not saying that the pandemic's a scam. They're still not saying openly that it's a scam. And they're still kind of pushing sort of things. I mean, they were totally supporting Trump for a long time. And then as soon as things went pear-shaped, they just turned against Trump as well. So I think they kind of promote that concept that we've got someone on our side here, and then they'll subtly influence you into, you know, just slight misdirection anyway. So, but, you know, I guess there's a lot of news reporters out there that must be able to see the writing on the wall. I mean, how couldn't you? How could you actually be anyone who could call yourself a journalist and not see the writing on the wall through all this? And you know, so I guess they've got to say something. And I guess a lot of them in there are seeing the writing on the wall and realizing that it's coming for them as well, you know, so they can probably say what they can get away with, but not too much. And ultimately, in the end, they seem to be misdirecting people anyway. I mean, I don't trust the media. I don't trust any news services. I think they'll appear to be your friend. And again, you've got to have people that appear to be on the right side. There's got to be some sort of an opposing view. It's like Tucker Carlson in the United States. He was saying a lot of really good stuff for a while. Then he turned on Trump the moment that he could. You know, the way Fox News was all on Trump's side for one time, and then suddenly when it was the right timing, they turned on it just to influence the public opinion because, hey, look, you know, these guys told the truth all these months, so now we should believe them here as well, you know. So I think a lot of it is a play, Richie.
What do you think of that Capitol riot, Max, in DC, ever anything was staged, that, and I'm very sceptical usually when people say to me, oh, that was staged, Richie. It's not that I don't believe them, but I'm more reserved in my judgment. But that was a laugh, that, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been saying to people as well, I mean, you think Trump's your friend. I mean, he appears to be your friend, but none of the stuff they're doing now could have happened if Trump hadn't called for that march on the Capitol. And you can't tell me he's that naive, that he didn't know it was going to be infiltrated by Antifa and it was all going to be, you know, windows smashed and all this stuff was going to happen. I mean, you can't be that stupid to think that's not what they're going to do. You know, it was a setup. The whole thing's a setup. He managed to paint a target on everybody's back before he left office. Yeah, absolute staged. Even the guy, they even had it on The Simpsons as well, even the guy with the buffalo horns.
Yeah.
How does The Simpsons know all this shit, you know? How does The Simpsons know all this
shit? Hey, listen, some of our listeners won't know what you're talking about there. Tell them about that. This is funny stuff.
Well, there was a guy that went in there. He's calling himself Captain America, and he went into the Capitol building, and he was wearing this big fur around his shoulders, and he had this fur hat on with these buffalo horns sticking up, and he was making a really big scene, and he's one of the guys that was the poster boy for the riot, you know. And what we find is that a few months before, there's the same guy on The Simpsons, or actually a couple of years ago, I think. And an interesting thing in that episode as well was that was the episode when Trump, I think it was the episode when Trump became president and ended up destroying the economy.
Yeah.
And Lisa Simpson takes office. And Lisa Simpson's there sitting in office wearing this purple coat with these white beads around her neck and these little white bead earrings, exactly the same as what Kamala was wearing to the presidential inauguration. So they want Kamala Harris to be the president. Joe Biden is an incompetent, senile old fool, and even the mainstream media is starting to talk about, well, we think Biden's losing it, because Biden's not supposed to be the president. They want Kamala Harris in there as the president. Biden even referred to her as the president-elect at one interview when he said, oh, we both got our vaccinations and so did president-elect Harris. And there was another time when he said, oh, if we ever have a disagreement, I'll just develop a terrible illness and resign. As if he's the vice president. This is what he said he would do with Barack Obama when he was vice president. Yeah. So he still thinks he's vice president to Kamala Harris. So he's been letting it all slip in the interviews that he's not supposed to be president. So,
What do you think Trump supporters will – one of the things – we've talked over the years, you and I, about these messianic figures. We saw in the UK when Jeremy Corbyn was named Labour Party leader. Well, he was voted Labour Party leader. Now, at the time, and I'm certainly no genius when it comes to making predictions, but I've always known this much. At the time, I was, I lost a few listeners and I lost a bit of support because I said, this guy's just another, you know, puppet. None of the things that Jeremy said about the Israeli occupation, about Gaza, about settlements, he's not going to speak about any of this as the leader of the Labour Party. And of course, I was proved to be right. Now, I would say to Donald Trump fans today, supporters, I should say, not to be triumphalist or not to be a smart aleck, because I'm not a smart aleck. I would say, look, he said he would do all these things. You know, he would get rid of crooked Hillary. He would get a special prosecutor, all this stuff. He didn't do any of it. I'm not saying that he's any worse than any other president, but I'm saying, will you now finally accept that when you get to choose between two people in November every 4 years, it's the two people that the establishment has given you? Do you think, Max, enough people will ever truly understand that or not?
Look, I really hope so. I really hope so. But I don't know. I mean, even with everything he's done and everything the way it's happened, they're right out there saying that, like, the Q movement and Trump's still the president and this is all going to happen and he's going to be inaugurated on March the 4th. I mean, I'd like to believe all this. I'd really like to believe it. I'd like to believe the corporation's been dissolved and Trump's the white knight on the savior and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, I just look at how it's all been set up. And I said a couple of months ago, I said, if there's any sort of an incident, like if they can promote some sort of a riot or you know, seeming revolution or whatever, they will paint Trump as you know, someone who's trying to stage a coup, and it'll be a great way they can outlaw the Republican Party and get rid of any thought of America being a republic. I said this a couple of months ago, and then this march on the Capitol, this is exactly what they've done. And now there's all sorts of talk coming out saying, oh, look, we're scared about domestic terrorism in the United States. This is now the main threat is basically white male gun owners are the big threat in the United States. This is what's come out of this. So the whole thing has been a setup. It's a puppet show, Richie. I mean, as much as people think he's a good guy, he didn't really do anything that they wanted him to do. And he's gone out there looking like the underdog battling. So he's kind of pushed him into the mindset where, I mean, like, obviously the election was stolen. It was completely stolen. It was the most fraudulent election you could ever see. So he's provided a really good opportunity or a really good excuse for all the Republicans and a lot of people in the United States to want to basically wage a civil war and reclaim the country. And they're quite justified in doing so. But that's what they're pushing it for. That's what they want. They want a violent reaction because then they can bring in the National Guard and bring in all the troops and save the country, you know, which is what they want to do. So it's theatre. The whole thing's a puppet show, and it's all been designed to be this way, and Trump is not your friend. I mean, look at all the support that he gave to Israel. His daughter's married to Jared Kushner, for God's sake. I mean, that's when people look at all this and they think, oh, the United States Corporation has been dissolved and all this sort of stuff. What people don't understand is the United States is run by Israel. That's who runs the United States. And that's what they need to factor in. They really do.
They do. I mean, we've had so many conversations on this program before about the Israeli lobby and its influence. I was speaking to, I'm trying to think who it was now. I've had so many guests on. Recently, and I put it to him that we need to reserve more of our wrath for our own domestic politicians, our own national politicians, and our political parties, rather than focus our wrath. Not I wouldn't say wrath, but our ire on the state of Israel itself. Who do we blame more for the influence that Israel wields in the UK or in the United States? Do we blame Israel, or do we just say, well, that's just what Israel does? It's not the only country that does it, but it's what Israel does. We should focus more of the blame on our own politicians. What do you say to that? Harry Vox, it was Absolutely. Harry had on. Yeah.
Absolutely. I've been saying this for years. I mean, I did a lot of activism for Palestine, as you well know, Richard.
Yeah,
I spoke out about it for years, but it took a long time for me to realize, well, that's why it's there. They want us to put all our focus on that. But really, the only reason that exists is because it's funded by all of our politicians.
Yeah.
And if our politicians in our countries are going to fund this atrocity that's going on in the Middle East, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. Because if they're going to do it there, then they're going to do it here. And look at the world now. Welcome to Gaza, Richie. We're all in lockdown, borders closed, checkpoints everywhere. I've been saying for years, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world if we don't deal with this.
Fantastic.
Because the whole thing is being run by our politicians.
Fantastic. I'm on the record as saying I despise Israel. I do. I despise it. I despise its government. I despise what it's done to the indigenous people of that country. But over the years, I don't blame them for it. I don't blame the Israelis. I blame my own country, that is Ireland, and our politicians' inability to ever do anything about it, and the politicians here. And I think you've hit on something really, really, really important there. We're beginning now to understand, and I know that somebody might be listening to this now in the West Bank. Somebody might, maybe not likely, but somebody might be listening to this in Jerusalem. A Palestinian chap might be listening to this in Jerusalem and might say, ah, go out of it. The cheek of you to compare what you're going through. And I don't mean to do that, I know. But it's just the beginnings of it now, isn't it? You can't go here, you can't go there. Ira papirin bitte. Where are your papers? What is your excuse for being outside? No, you can't fly to Spain. No, you can't go to the airport. Why do you need to go? Exactly, Max. This is the beginning of it. Right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I've been saying it for years, Richie. The Palestine is the greatest moral dilemma we face in the world. And this is being run by your politicians in your country. It's everybody. It's your politicians that are doing this. You can sit there and scream at Israel, point the finger at them, throw rocks at them, do whatever you want. But it's being funded by the guy standing behind you. Why don't you turn around and look at him? Because if he's going to do it there and he's going to promote that, then it's going to come here. Because what you see in Palestine is a system of warehousing and surplusing human beings. And that is what is coming to our countries. They just kind of run the test there and put it there right in front of our face to see if we will actually deal with it. But no, we're prepared to turn the other cheek. Oh, that's all right. Go and hurt those guys. I'll just pay my taxes. Leave me alone. Well, they're not going to leave you alone because you turned your back on these other people. And it is. It's a gradual thing. I mean, they've got to do it gradually. That's why they've got to do the lockdowns, then ease them, then put them back on, then ease them, and just gradually get you used to moving into this type of new normal that they want to move you into. Yeah, reset the whole world into Gaza Strip, reset the whole world into a two-class society, the way we've been telling the people that this is what they want to do. They just want to eliminate the middle class, and they've done great with that through this lockdown. Oh, it's all for your protection. You've got to close all the businesses. The world's richest billionaires have got like 20 to 25% more wealth in the last 12 months, while everybody else has lost out. And that's what it's about. They want a two-class society. They want the rulers and the serfs, only divided by the thugs in black Kevlar that keep the serfs in line. That's what they want.
And they don't look like police anymore. Max Egan is our guest, folks, thecrowhouse.com. You'll find Max on YouTube. I think you'll find him on BitChute these days. The reason I say I think, because I'm not on there myself. You've just hit upon an amazing irony. It's so ironic. Over the years, I've been doing talk radio, whether it's been commercial talk radio or doing independent talk radio. Zionists or supporters of the State of Israel or hardline Zionists have often accused the independent media of holding Israel's government to a different standard than they've held their own. And I've always believed that they were kind of right. I didn't like them. I don't like them. I don't like Zionist lobbyists. I don't like people who advocate for the State of Israel. But I've always agreed with them. A lot of people, and maybe I did maybe a long time ago, not anymore, but we did hold the State of Israel to a different standard to our own governments. And now, there's a great irony now. There's a great irony now for those people, because what our governments are inflicting upon us now, it's nothing short of torture. It's a psychological, it's a psyop on people. It's evil under, by any definition, what's happening is evil and monstrous, isn't it? So yes, they're right to say you shouldn't have held your own government to a different standard than you held the Israeli government. They were bang on the money, because we're seeing it now.
Yeah. Well, I've been saying this for a long time, Richie. I've been saying it for a long time. And you're right about the police. I mean, the police, I said back in 2000, I think it was 2015 when I went to the UK, it might have been 2014. I'd been there in 2012 and I went to one of the parks there in the UK, Richmond Park or something. And there's the bobbies there with their little pointy hats on and their batons and their little stars on their helmets and all that sort of stuff. And I went back there in 2014. And there's the cops there wearing black Kevlar, holding AK-47s and body armor and stuff. And I'm going, okay. Well, what's happened to the police in the last 2 years since I came to England? And I said back then, the New World Order is already here, folks. You just don't realize it. All you've got to do is look at the police uniforms. It doesn't matter where you go. You go to China, go to Japan, go to the Philippines, go to anywhere. They're all in this same police uniform, the black Kevlar, the black police badges, the whole thing. It's the same uniform right around the world. This is the New World Order police force. It's already here. They're just consolidating their power. And come 2020, we'll all get 2020 vision. The veil will fall down. We'll be able to see things clearly. And the whole system is going to be revealed in 2020. This is what I was saying back in about 2016, 2018.
Well, I remember you saying that to me. Can I ask you this? You've never been one to say, I told you. One of the reasons I've liked speaking with you over the years is because for you, the important thing is the information that you've learned. It's never been about you or you being the story. So I'll ask you this. I know you've never been one to say, well, look, I said this back in 2012 or I said this back in 2010. You've not ever done that. Do you feel dejected at times? Because guys like you are travelling around the world on your own dime. Most of the time you didn't have a pot to piss in. And you were saying to people, sometimes to big audiences, sometimes to telephone box audiences, sometimes to, you know, filled out halls. You were saying, look, folks, this is coming down the line. Does that leave you today with a sense of dejection or not? You just keep going anyway and you keep optimistic.
Well, you keep doing what you've got to do, Richie. I mean, in many ways, it vindicates a lot of the stuff that I've said. And I'm finding that a lot of people are actually listening to me now because they're going, well, shit, he said all this stuff a few years ago and I thought he was nuts, but now it's all here. So maybe I should actually listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
And it isn't a matter of I told you so. It's a matter of, look, you know, I've got a pretty good track record of being pretty on the money with this stuff. So, you know, if I tell you this is coming and you can actually do this to avoid it, well, maybe you should pay attention a little bit and perhaps change your own actions and avoid what's coming. And a lot of people are kind of getting that message now. So You've got to stay positive. I mean, no stake in the outcome, Richie. This is a big test anyway. I have no fear of death. And in many ways, it just vindicates what I've said. And it's inspiring for people to see that. And it inspires them to actually listen and actually put things into action in their own lives. I still get emails from people saying, well, I've just changed the way I approach the world and my whole life has changed and, you know, everything's great now. With all this stuff that's coming, I mean, I have no problem with any of this. It's terribly dystopian what's coming. But I see it as a huge opportunity for freedom, Richie, because they're red-pilling the whole world. And as soon as people can realize that they actually have individual power, that what we're dealing with here is just people and you don't actually have to do what you're told, we can change the world so simply. You know, we could change it in a day if people simply stop tolerating wrong behavior. So, yeah, I find it all inspiring in a way. I mean, I never wanted to be right with all this stuff I was saying and seeing, but, you know, you get to a point where you can see it all coming. And you have to say something, or you feel guilty if you don't. You know,
I didn't believe you. When I started out doing this type of program, I did it because I felt it was the right thing to do. Now, I don't deserve any credit for that. I'm not a martyr or anything like it. I did it because I had learned that September the 11th was nothing like I had been told it was. And I am the guy in the independent media that actually worked in commercial radio on the day, and I broadcast live as it was happening, and I told all of my listeners that Osama bin Laden did it in his super cave in the Tora Bora Mountains in Afghanistan. So I learned a few years afterwards that this was complete tosh. So I knew something was going on, and I began to do these types of programs. But even still, I think the earliest I can remember speaking to you, I think, was around about 2011, I think. I had a chat with you on Spanish radio before we ended up doing the TV thing in London. And I always thought people like you were very nice, very well-meaning. I certainly wasn't in any way looking down on you or patronising you. I thought articulate guys, but I thought, Jesus, no, it's not going to end up as bad as that. You know what I mean? These guys are seriously looking at the most possibly pessimistic outcome. But I was wrong.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it's come. Unfortunately, it's kind of obvious. And I could see it all when I was a kid. I thought this is like I got kicked out of four high schools when I was 16 years old because I was arguing with my teachers saying that, you know, everything you're teaching us is leading us into this dystopia. You're teaching me to be a little cog in the big machine. You're basically removing me of my life skills, and that's not what I come to school for. I thought I was going to come here to get taught about life and get taught life skills and how to be a better human being, you know. So I was having these arguments when I was a kid. So yeah, I mean, you can kind of see it coming. You don't want it to be true, but you can see it coming, and so you feel a need to warn people. And I remember, yeah, I mean, you used to play devil's advocate a lot, and you're kind of, you know, kind of skeptical with things, but you've always been very friendly and very open to it all. And here it is. And it's just going to get more and more dystopic. And I think, like, what they're doing in the United States, they're setting everybody up for a fall with this whole Q thing. They want everyone to appear as complete fringe dwellers, and they want the rest of society to see the Republicans and any Trump supporters as being a threat so they can take them off to the re-education centers. They're even talking about the need to deprogram people who have joined the cult.
Yeah.
Trump.
Do you know what?
Which is why Trump came across the truth. He was just throwing bones out to the truth community so they could snare them all. That's what it was for.
Brilliantly said. I think Trump was the greatest psyop of all time. And I remember when he did that interview with Alex Jones, and Alex's conduct in the interview was disgraceful. I mean, it really was. It was the last time I interviewed Alex, actually. Not because I'm petulant or childish, but I just got fed up of it. I just thought, no. Listen, good that you got him on, but ask him some real questions, you know, get him to commit to certain things. But Alex was starstruck by him, and it was rubbish. You're absolutely...
He was gushing. He was absolutely gushing. Gushing. He was like a little teenage boy.
Well said. Absolutely gushing. And ultimately, Trump saw, and Trump's people saw, that there is a huge amount of you know, what's the word I'm looking for here now? People that are dissatisfied. And people who had begun reading people like Max Egan, who'd begun reading people like David Icke and others. And Trump's people knew that this was a very big demographic. They knew this, Max, didn't they? And they went after it and they succeeded. And people
also, you've got to identify these people and you've got to find a way of removing these people. I mean, these people are a threat to the system. And office said, why did they make 9/11 so obvious? Because it was a phishing exercise. They wanted to find us. Why did they create the truth movement? Why did they allow it to happen and take off the way it did? Because they wanted to identify all of us. And then they send, they get all these people, they want to find out who's awake. And then they send Trump out there as the, yeah, I'm awake. I'm going to do all this stuff for you. We're going to drain the swamp. So all the people in the sidelines there who are sitting on the fence and watching the truth movement saying, well, look, I kind of believe it, but I don't want to stick my head up too far because they might hurt me. They all jumped on. They all bought MAGA hats. They all bought QT shirts. They all went out there and thought, look, it's finally all coming to the head. Trump's going to save us. He managed to flush them all out, and he painted a target on all of their backs with the riots at the Capitol building. And yeah, it was an absolute psyop. The whole thing's been a psyop. I mean, he's a player. They're all players. You don't get into that position if you're not a player, if you're not bought and paid for. That's just the way it goes. You know, so all these people thinking that he's going to do all this stuff. I mean, they've totally set it up now so that they can go and the media will play it any way they want. The media will say we're just all right-wing extremists. We're all neo-Nazis. There's even talk here in Australia now saying neo-Nazi groups are forming, white supremacist groups talking about white genocide, you know, which is what's happening. I mean, the white races are being destroyed. It's obvious, and it's part of the Kalugi plan. It's been an ongoing thing for years. But you can't talk about it. You can't say that. So you can see how they've played this, how they've set it all up. And I think the next couple of months, is it's, people have got to be very, very careful. I mean, as I've been saying to them, I'd really like to believe all the stuff that the QTubers are saying, and I'd like to believe that this big move is happening. But just be careful, folks. Be careful of where you're being led, and be careful of how you're being set up, because what I'm seeing is a massive phishing operation and a massive trap that's been sprung. See, that's why they created the truth movement to begin with, Richie. And that's why they made 9/11, because they wanted to find where all the thinking people are. And they needed Trump to flush those last crew out, the ones that were hiding behind the fences and sitting on the sidelines and didn't really want to speak out. They've got them all out there now. So, yeah, it's going to be very, very revealing.
They also knew, that's brilliant, they also knew with the truth community that it would inevitably be filled with narcissists who were only interested in their own viewing figures, their own Facebook followers, didn't they?
That's why they called it that's why they called it the truth community, Richard, movement. Yeah. Because the truth is that no one knows what the truth is, and that's the truth. And what you've got is a whole bunch of people arguing over their belief systems, claiming it's their truth. And you should, it should really be the freedom community, the freedom movement. This is what I've said for years. The truth is no one knows the truth. We need to establish the freedom to find out what the truth is. Because while you're all claiming I have the truth, all you're doing is creating the very argument, which is the one thing which is preventing us from ever establishing freedom. It's such a play. And that's why they've done it this way. That's why they even called it the truth movement. It was a phishing exercise, the whole thing.
Brilliant.
It's about freedom. Nobody knows what the truth is. If you're claiming you know the truth, you're a fool. You know, this is about the freedom to find out what it is.
I know less today than I did when I was 21. Max Egan is our guest. On the Kalergi plan, you and I have butted heads on this over the years. It's not that I disagree with you. I actually don't. But I think, and maybe you can pick this up and broaden this out a bit better for my listeners, I think I think every human being on the planet, regardless of your religious belief, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, or regardless of the colour of your skin, we're all meant to be annihilated by this agenda. However, I think they very cleverly tailored the agenda to the different races, didn't they? So that we all feel that we are specifically being targeted. We all feel uniquely oppressed. And I don't know if you agree with that. What do you think? Or am I talking through my arse?
No, well, look, the thing is with the Kalugi plan, it isn't just about destroying the white people. It's about destroying the European heritage, the European people. It's about destroying Europe, which is, and if you really want to start looking into history, how it's all been faked and start getting into Tartaria and rah, 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 I think a lot of it is because of the connection we have to these old cultures, these old hidden races and stuff. I mean, really what they want to do is they want to merge all races into one. I mean, they want to destroy the black people as much as they want to destroy the white people. You know, they want all one. They just want a whole bunch of, whole race of coffee cupboard people. So you've got the Jews and the Goyim. That's what they want. I've been talking about that for years. And the Kalugi plan is mainly about destroying Europe and destroying European heritage and any connection to that old world, rather than just destroying the white race, you know?
Max Egan is our guest, thecrowhouse.com, live from Brisbane, where it's coming up for 20 minutes to 5 in the morning. A special round of applause for Max's commitment to talk radio and to analysing what's happening and searching for the truth. Do go to thecrowhouse.com and support excellent independent journalism where you find it. So do support Max Egan. Watch his videos, bitchute.com, and as I said, thecrowhouse.com. I said to my previous guest, I said, I think they're going to pull out all the stops to convince everybody to take the vaccine. Last night, or yesterday morning, I should say, excuse me, Max, yesterday morning, the housing secretary, a guy called Robert Jenrick, basically said on national radio here, when he was asked to give some assurance that we wouldn't be stuck in lockdown next winter, he said, well, the only way to get there is if basically nearly 100% of the population takes the vaccine. And I put something on my website today. I think they might turn brother against sister, mum and dad against each other, cousin against cousin over this vaccine, where we might end up in October this year with people falling out in their communities, because we know that Jimmy over there, Max, Jimmy didn't have the vaccine, that bastard. He didn't have it. And we're stuck in lockdown. I see something like that coming. You might see something different. What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, no, that's exactly the way they're going to play it. That's exactly the way they'll do it. They'll get so that you blame Richie. It's Richie's fault that we're still in lockdown because Richie didn't have the vaccine. So you need to have the vaccine so we can all go back to normal. It's your fault, Richie. That's what they'll do. Exactly. That's the way they're going to play it. It makes perfect sense for them to play it that way. They've just got to get this into the public perception that the vaccine is the key to getting out of lockdown. You know, if people can just understand this whole thing's based on a lie, that there's no target for the vaccine because they've never isolated the virus. I mean, even the British bloody health department themselves, they recategorize this as a disease of not major concern or whatever the wording was. Back in March last year, they said it's nothing really. It's just the seasonal flu. So there's no reason for any of this. If people can grasp the enormity of the lie, then they won't have the vaccine. But what it's all been about is the vaccine. And like I said, you can't even call it a vaccine. It's a experimental genetic agent. Even Moderna themselves are saying what it is an operating system. You know, it's an mRNA vaccine. There's thousands of doctors screaming out about it. But yeah, that's exactly what they want to do, Richie. They want to turn family against family, people against people, and have us policing each other. And all the mindless plebs out there are going to blame all the thinking people for them still being in lockdown. It's a perfect plan.
Number of people talking about Christianity and how Christianity has been under attack for a number of years, Christian beliefs and practicing Christians, and whether that factors into everything we've been talking about. Max, you know, you look at lockdown, I'm particularly disappointed at the reaction of the Catholic churches in Ireland and in England, particularly, I can only speak for, well, I shouldn't even speak for them. I mean, I'm an agnostic these days, but I was raised Roman Catholic. Very disappointed to see how the church is kind of bent over backwards to the agenda. And I wonder if that has anything to do with, you know, the bad press and the, I suppose you could say, the attacks on Christianity that we've seen in recent years. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't particularly trust any organized religion at all. But I think all of this is laid out in Revelation. I think that's the script that they use. And the thought that Christians would even consider taking this vaccine when they know all about the mark of the beast and 666 and all that stuff. And the fact that they put all this in your face, like with Bill Gates and his patent for his cryptocurrency that he wants to run off your biology, which is 060606. I mean, it's all there. The whole lot's there. It's all in Revelation. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they would do this. It'll make the Christians feel vindicated, and they'll believe that their Savior's coming, and then they'll sit on their asses and do nothing and wait to be saved. So, you know, I think they do it this way every time. In fact, I think they've done this before. As I've often said to people, something that really gets me is the legends of the scrying mirrors, the witches' covens with the little black mirrors and the sigils that you put on the wall that show you the future and the past and all that sort of stuff. And the scrying mirrors, I think, are cell phones and, you know, computer screens, and the sigils are electrical circuitry. And I think a lot of what this is about, and this might sound really out there to people, but I think a lot of what this is about is pulling us into the mainframe, pulling us into a virtual world, into a virtual reality. It's like a soul harvest. If they can get you to have this vaccine and they can put this modification in your DNA, they can get you into the mainframe and you won't even know that you're in there. That's what I think a lot of this is about. And that's why I think we can't wake a lot of people up, because I think they're already in there. They're already in the mainframe. I think they do this time and time again. And what it's really about is a collection of human souls, harvesting human souls. That's what I think is really going on here. Like I said, that's probably going to sound really esoteric to people. They're probably going, oh, Mark, after all the great stuff he said, now he's just gone and said that.
No, no, not at all. Well, look, listen, if they do think that, they're idiots anyway. If people do reach that conclusion, they're idiots anyway. They've got short attention spans.
But I think a lot of that's what's happening, Richie. I really do. I mean, you think about this mRNA sequence they're putting into your DNA. You think about it, you're an electrical being, you're an electrical, you know, everything is electrical. They're putting this back door in there to pull you into this virtual world. If they were to pull you into a virtual world, would you even know that you were in there? You know, and is that what this is about? Is that why there's all these catacombs beneath all these cities full of bones? Is this a people farm and we've reached harvest time? Is that what's going on? And what's really being harvested is your soul. If they can get you scared enough of death and terrified enough of the people around you and terrified enough of your own personal power that you'll just comply and you'll take this vaccine, well, then they've disconnected you from source and they can get you stuck in this virtual world as a slave forever.
I wonder if we accept that we really don't understand time, and if time is not linear as we think it is, I wonder if there's a possibility that we've been genetically programmed sometime in the past or sometime in the future to be the you know, predisposed to wait for somebody else to swoop in and save the day. I wonder, is our inaction or inertia, has it been programmed into us going back years? And your virtual reality description there, which is brilliant, and I know you've done a lot of work on this. Again, if time isn't linear, maybe we're already in some sort of second or third wave of a virtual reality program and we just don't know it. We think we're moving into another one, but we're actually in one. I know it's really, I won't say it's not over your head at all, but it will be over the heads of some of our listeners because they'll be new to it. I just feel that we're so incapable of standing up to the system. It's easy to say that it's cowardice. I don't believe it is cowardice. Maybe somewhere thousands of years ago or thousands of years in the future, somebody stuck a gene into us that makes us kind of sit back and wait for Superman. What do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it is the closing of the pineal gland, the disconnection of the corpus callosum, so our left and right brain don't talk to each other. You know, we're just not aware of who and what we are. And I think a lot of this is a, like I said, it's a soul test. It's a test of fear. Most people are in fear. They do everything they can to keep people in fear. But then some of us just don't move into that. It just doesn't happen. I mean, I'm quite prepared to stand my ground and die right here on my feet. I won't be taking your vaccine. I won't be complying with anything you want me to do. And I won't be taking a backward step. You'll have to kill me now. And I'm fine with that, you know. So I think a lot of it is that. I think the big test here is how you face the completion, how you face your death, how you face being challenged of your own personal power. You know, whether you're prepared to simply stand and shine your light. I think that's a lot of what it is. I think that's what we came here to do. But a lot of people get cowed and they get moved into that and they just give up and they take the vaccine and off they go. So I think, yeah, I mean, possibly there's been some sort of genetic modification, but I think just as soon as we're born, we're programmed into all this stuff by our parents. We're fed all this food, which shuts us down. You know, most people's pineal gland is calcified by the time they're 8 years old. But when they're young, their kids are seeing fairies in the garden and all sorts of magical stuff, you know. So I think they disconnect us from reality by disconnecting us from our own biology. And I think it's a methodical thing. And whether it was done years ago, I mean, whether we come back and do this all the time, we're just caught in this endless loop. I mean, when you look at deja vu, perhaps that's what deja vu is. Perhaps you have these experiences because you actually have done this before.
Yeah.
And you always get to that point. You're always given the decision. You can always find a way out. Every time you come here, you can find a way out. You've just got to move yourself out of that fear and be prepared to stand in your soul power. That's the key out. You could almost think of this as a form of soul purification. after you've come back here enough times, perhaps you get to that point where you are prepared to face infinity without flinching. And I think that is the trick to getting through life. Be aware of who and what you are, that all you're dealing with is other people, just other forms of consciousness that are completely much the same as you. You all have equal value. You may not have equal talents or equal experience or, you know, equal attributes, but you all have equal value as a form of consciousness. And perhaps you get to that point where you finally reach that clarity and you can face infinity without flinching, and then you move on to the next point. So maybe it's something like that, you know.
Sounds good to me. What are you going to do before we run out of time? We've got about 3 minutes left. And again, thanks for getting up. I know you keep odd hours, but this is a properly odd hour, even though it's late summer there, isn't it? And it's probably lovely there. I normally hear chooks and stuff.
Stinking hot.
Is it stinking hot, is it? Yeah.
Quarter to 10 to 5 in the morning, and I'm sweating, actually.
Yeah, it sounds good. It's been icy cold here for quite a while, and we've had deluges of rain as well. As a man who loves to get around, and wherever you go, you're known. You know, you've got in most towns and cities, people have heard of you, and you'll go places and people will turn up to meet you and to speak with you and listen to you. And I know it's something that you love. You've never done it for financial gain, because there's no feckin' money in it, as we say in Ireland. How difficult is that for you? Do you want to be out there now at this time more than any other time? Do you want to be out there speaking to people? And if so, you know, is it itchy fingers? Is it itchy feet, I should say, at the moment, is it?
Well, a little bit. I haven't travelled since September 2019, which is a long time for me. That's the longest I've been home for ages. And I kind of do miss travelling. I would like to be out speaking to people, because it is important. But I kind of look at it and think, well, you know, if I can't travel now, well, I can't travel now. At least I've done a lot of stuff, and I've gone to a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of stuff before. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's exhausting traveling anyway. I don't do it for pleasure. But it's just, it becomes a lifestyle. It's just what you're used to. I mean, I'm not going to be taking their vaccines. I'm not going to be taking their tests. I'm not going to be doing any of that stuff in order to travel. So if I can, I can. If I can't, I can't. It's just the way it goes. But I do miss it a little bit. But I feel fortunate enough to have traveled so much in my life before that, at least I've had the experience. So if I'm going to stay here for the duration, well, so be it, you know.
My female listeners always ask me when you're on, because of your dulcet tones, Mr. Egan, is Max spoken for, they ask me. And every time I get asked this over the years, I usually reply with, mind your own feckin' business. But I'm going to ask you now, is there a woman, is there a man, is there a person in Max Egan's life? Tell me to fuck off and mind my own business.
No,
if you
mate,
want.
I'm just saying it'd be hard to find a woman that wanted to put up with this lifestyle. So I'm sure she'll come home one day.
brilliant answer. Thanks for coming back. I have said to you before, I asked you back on the other morning. I've said to you before, when it's about time to come back on, don't wait for me to ask you. Just tell me. I feel like coming on, Richie. And we'll always make space for you, Max. TheCrowHouse.com. I genuinely love you, mate. It's great to be speaking to you for so many years. You're still there. You're still on the other end of the phone in this technological age of wonder. You sound like you're in the studio. It's an amazing thing for me. Thanks for doing it today. Go and have a cold shower in that stinking heat you're enduring there. And I can't wait to speak to you again in the very near future.
No worries, Richie. Thanks for having me on, brother. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Talk soon. In Lakesh, man.
Talk soon, buddy. The great Max Egan, live on the Richie Allen Radio Show. Thursday's programme. It's Friday morning there in Brisbane. Just about to wrap it up. It's 4 minutes to the top of the hour. Listen, the Jewish Chronicle is at it again. The Jewish Chronicle and the Community Trust, some Jewish Community Trust and Hope Not Hate. Hope Not Hate. The usual bullshit. We get it probably 3 or 4 times a year. Allen has hosted Holocaust deniers. Allen supports the people who hate Jews. Allen this and Allen that. It's horse shit, of course. I don't feel like I have to defend it. I just want to point out again, it's very important that I point this out. I've invited these people to come on my programme. And to say these things, well, I suppose not literally to my face, but to at least say them to me on air over the telephone. Come and do that. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. Don't be a coward, a bedwetting keyboard warrior, dickless fucking coward. Don't do that. Don't go online and call people names and tell lies about people. It's not going to matter in the long run. I'm not going anywhere. It doesn't really bother me. The only thing that bothers me is that I can't get any money out of you. I'd love to get some money out of you. But sadly, the judicial system and the way it's structured in this country means I would have to get a lot of money to do that. And I don't have the kind of money that I would need to sue you. You've not been stupid enough to directly call me a Holocaust denier, because I'm not. But you're insinuating that I provide a platform almost exclusively for Holocaust deniers, when that's just bullshit too. The last time somebody came on this program that said to me that they disbelieved or didn't accept the Holocaust, it has to be over 4 years ago. And they were robustly disagreed with and challenged at the time. Because that's the way it goes. Don't be a coward. Don't be a spineless fucking cockroach. Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. My name is Richie Allen. I live in Salford. I don't hide. My photograph is on my Twitter profile. My photograph is on my website. I'm well known where I come from for being a respected and decent, qualified journalist with integrity. Don't go on Twitter and on Facebook. Don't use the Jewish Chronicle. Don't use the Mail or the Guardian to say that I'm this or I'm that. Come and have a fucking go if you're hard enough. But then you won't, will you, really? Because cowards never come and have a go at anybody. I'll be here long after you're fucking gone. Don't forget that. I'll speak to you on Sunday morning. Sunday morning melodies at 10 o'clock. The BBG signing off. Bye.